We're up to Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. And we'll take a look at the last line on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Nosnim Beitza B'Misanenes. You're allowed to put an egg through a strainer onto mustard. Tani Yaakov Karcha. And we have a Brisa in the name of Yaakov. And the Brisa says, Lefi She'in Osin Osa El Legovan. The reason why this is Mutar on Shabbos, and it's not Melecha of Borer, even though he's separating the white of the egg from the yellow of the egg, and what's going to happen is when he cracks the egg over the strainer, and he's got mustard in the utensil, the yellow, the yolk of the egg is going to go down and give a color to the mustard, like we like yellow mustard. So he's not separating ochel from psoles, because everything here is ochel. Both the white of the egg, which is called chelbon, and the yellow of the egg, which is called chelmon, both are ochel. So that's not a melacha of borer. Itmar. We learned that chardol shelosho me'erev Shabbos, if he had already added a certain amount of liquid into the mustard, and he kneads them together. This he did on Friday, and it's now very thick. He wants to thin it out. L'machar on Shabbos, Rav says, Memacho b'kli, avalo b'yad. He's allowed to add liquids, let's say water. Maybe sometimes he adds other liquids. And he has to do this with a shinui, some way that's unusual. And the reason for that is because of a malacha called lash, lisha, which means kneading. And now that he's trying to add a liquid and soften the mixture, he is going to knead it. And he's got to do that b'shinui. So Rav says that the normal way you do this is b'yad. You stick your hands in and you knead it. And that's the best way of kneading mustard. However, it's an unusual method to do this through a kli, and therefore on Shabbos he should do it with a kli. Amalei Shmuel. Shmuel says just the opposite. B'yad. Are you assuming that the normal way of doing it is biyad? Otu kol yomim m'machu le biyad? Machol chamorim hu. He says that if you knead something by mixing a liquid into a solid with your hands, that's something you might do for animals, but that's not the normal way that you do it for human beings. The best job you'll achieve with a kli, with a utensil. And therefore, Elamar Shmuel says just the opposite of Rav. Mimachu biyad, v'eino mimachu b'kli. When he wants to do this kneading process and mix a liquid into the mustard, then he should do it with his hands and not with a utensil. That's going to be the unusual way. Itmar, and now the Gemara is going to try to come to some halachic conclusion by quoting a machlokes first. Rabbi Elazar Omar Echad Zev Yechad Zev Asur. So we have one shita that maintains that mixing a liquid into the Shabbos, whether you do it by hand or you do it by utensil, it's always Asur. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Echad Zev Yechad Zev Mutar. Rabbi Yochanan said this is not kneading, because already on Erev Shabbos he had begun the process, and he's just completing the process. He's making it a little bit more fine, but that's not really a malach. And Abai Varov, Demar Chavayu, Ein Halacha K'Rab Yochanan. We're not allowed to rely on this leniency of Rab Yochanan. Now, according to this presentation, Rab Yochanan was the one who said that it's always mutter. whether he does it with a hand or even if he does it with a kli. However, the Gemara is going to switch this around now. Come, Rabbi Yochanan b'shitasei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan re-examined the sugya, and in his second analysis, he came to the opposite conclusion. He retracted his original position, and he accepted that of Rabbi Loza. And, oddly enough, come Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza likewise rethought his approach, and come, he came to the conclusion, b'shitasei de Shmuel, accepting the view of Shmuel. Now, according to this reformulation, at the end of his days, Rabbi Yochanan held that everything was asur, which was the original position of Rabbi Loza, but they switched positions. Is Abai v'Rava d'Amri Chavai halachik Rabbi Yochanan? Now the conclusion is that mixing liquid into mustard and kneading them together on Shabbos is prohibited, whether he does it by hand or he does it with a utensil. However, the story doesn't end there, because ime da Abaye avdolei v'lo achal, Abaye's mother, or the woman who raised him, she actually mixed mustard with a liquid, and she presented it to Abaye. Abaye had hesitations, because again, as we saw before, he and Rav had paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, that bein b'kli, bein b'yad is asur. However, the besu d'zira of the law, l'Rab Chiya bar Ashi v'lo achal. Now, what's going on here is the following. Ze'iri's wife, which is called the besu de Ze'iri. Now, Ze'iri had a student by the name of Rab Chiya bar Ashi, and Ze'iri died. His almana, his widow, got married to Rab Chiya bar Ashi, to a Talmud of Rab Zira. And Rebbetzin Ze'ira, may rest in peace, prepared on Shabbos a mixture of mustard with liquids, which she mixed on Shabbos itself. And she served it in front of Rab Chiya, her second husband. Amr Leh, she says to him, Rab Chiya bar Ashi refused to eat it. He thought maybe there was a malacha that was prohibited. L'rabcha avidule, when I was married to your Rebbe, may rest in peace, Rabbi Ze'ira, achal, he had no hesitations. V'ata lo achalta. Do you have to be more religious than your Rebbe? Amar Rava bar Shava, havakayim nekami de Ravina. At one point I was together with Ravina. Ubachshile, and I prepared for him this mixture, b'shufta desuma v'achal. So again, there's a part of the garlic which, if you stir it, then it makes it more edible. And my Rebbe Ravina had no compunctions. Again, the same idea that if it's already almost prepared and you just finish up the job on Shabbos, then it's mutter. Amar Mar Zutra, Les Hilchasa Kechol Hanishmatita. Forget about all these teachings, all these statements that we quoted until now. Those are not accepted l'alocha. Ela ki ha di itmar. This is the final resolution and conclusion of the halacha. Chardol shalosh me'erev Shabbos, if he had already done some extent of kneading of the mustard on Erev Shabbos, l'machar on Shabbos, m'macho, he's allowed to add mixture of liquid and mix it up, stir it up, but on the one condition, bein b'yad, bein b'kli, I don't care whether he does it by hand or with a kli, v'nosein l'socho dvash, he could also add mustard, honey, this becomes honey mustard, if you've ever heard of that, and all that he can add on Shabbos, mix it all together, but v'lo yitrof elema arev. When you beat an egg, That's called litrof beitza. You know, you do a very aggressive kind of stirring process. But that's not going to be permitted in the case of adding a liquid or honey to a mustard, even though the mustard was already kneaded on Erev Shabbos, but now you're adding another liquid, and that's called gibul. Gibul is a form of kneading, which is a malacha of lisha. So what we're going to allow you to do on Shabbos is ma'arev. Ma'arev means just to gently and superficially stir it around, but not to do it aggressively the way you would beat an egg. Shchalayim is a kind of an herb. Sheshchakam me'erev Shabbos. He already crushed them on Erev Shabbos. And again, we're talking now about Melechas Tchina, which he already did on Erev Shabbos. And now he wants to add different ingredients on Shabbos, like oil or vinegar. Is a machar nosein l'sochan shemen v'chometz. He's allowed to add to this chopped up herb wine, oil, umamshich l'sochan amisa. And we'll soon see that amisa is also as a kind of a mint that they would add, a mint flavor, and he's allowed to add that to the mixture. But again, he's still in the process of kneading, and although the grinding he did on Erev Shabbos, now he's adding a liquid. It's almost like adding water to flour, where if you knead that together, you violate a malacha of lash. Here too, it's borderline lash, and therefore he has to do it in a very gentle way, so that it's not really kneaded together properly. He doesn't beat it liyitrof, but rather ma'arif. Shum Sharisko me'erev Shabbos. He pounded and chopped up garlic on Erev Shabbos, so the tchina has already been done. Lemachar on Shabbos, no saying l'socho pul. He could add peas, or grisim, or beans. But v'lo yishchok ela ma'arif. Once again, we're involved here in creating some sort of a gibul, and therefore he should avoid doing it in the normal way. Instead of pounding it, he should stir it. Umamshich es amisa l'sochan. Again, we mentioned before that there's some sort of substance called amisa, and he's allowed to add that to this chopped up herb. My amisa, what is amisa? Ninya. Ninya is what we call nana, which is mint. Omar Abaye, Shvami no. Abaye makes a side comment here. I mean, we're dealing with Meleches Lishon Shabbos, Kedarko, Shalom Kedarko, the Shinu, etc. Abaye comes up with a health statement here, and he says, Hai Ninya Ma'alya Litachale. That if you add this mint to the herb, it improves the flavor. Okay, so this is a culinary comment. And in all likelihood, he also wants to tell you that it's beneficial for your health. Now the Mishnah says, V'osin inomlin b'Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to quote a brisa to differentiate between two things that are very similar. Even their names are similar. And Tanu Rabbanan osim inomlin b'Shabbos, but ain osin aluntis. Okay, so we're going to now try to figure out what's the difference between inomlin and aluntis. Inomlin is mutter, and aluntis is osur. And the Bryce explains, ezi anumlin vi ezi aluntis. What's the difference between the two? Anumlin is a kind of a mixture of yayin, udvash, upilpulin. So he's got a mixture of three ingredients. He's got wine, honey, and pepper. And that he's allowed to mix on Shabbos. And apparently it has no therapeutic element to it. It's purely for enjoyment. And therefore, it's not refuah on Shabbos. However, aluntis is yayin yoshen umayim tzlulim vafarsimon, is a mixture of older wine, vintage wine, together with water. And it's clear water mixed with balsam. And you may recall that we mentioned balsam is a very powerful kind of an ingredient, And the reason why this is also on Shabbos is because the Avdi Lebei Mesuta Lemekar, when they came out of the bathhouse and they were very hot, they wanted to cool down the temperature. It's not good to be have too heavy, high of a temperature. They would drink this concoction called Aluntis, and that would cool them off. So it has a therapeutic power to it, and therefore it's prohibited on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef tells the following story. Zimnin Chada, on one occasion, Alisai climbed up Basar Mar Ukfa to the house. No, and I'm sorry, to climbing up the steps behind Mar Ukfa LeBei Bani. Bei Bani is the bathhouse. And Kinafki, when I came out, Asoi Ashkian Chamro Chad Kosa. Rav Mar Ukfa gave me a cup of wine to drink. And apparently this was a special kind of a wine. And it was a mixture that had not only wine in it, but the other ingredients that make up aluntis. And he wanted to make sure I would cool off my body. V'chashi, and I felt mibinsa, from the hair derashoy on my head, ad tufra dekari, down to the knees or the nails of my feet, and my body was immediately cooled off. It's like, imagine going to from the hot sun and eating cold ice cream. You know, automatically you feel your body cools off. And he says that if the body cools off too fast, that itself might be dangerous. Therefore, he makes the following comment. The Ashkin Kasachrina, had he given me a second dosage of that mixture, Hami Mistafina, I would have been afraid, Dilma Menakule Mischusa de Alma de Osi, that if God would intervene in order to save my life from immediate danger, I would lose my merits in the world to come. It would take a divine miracle to save me if I had drunk the same amount, the same volume a second time. According to the Marsha, perhaps what he had in mind was that this was such an enjoyable drink that it would take away from his merits in Olam Haba if he had too much pleasure in this world. Okay. Veho Mar Ukva Deshasi Kol Yom. If you ask me about Mar Ukva, why wasn't he affected in the same way that I was? That's because he drank it on a regular basis, daily, and therefore he got used to it. His body was used to it. Shani Mar Ukva Deshbe. Mar Ukva, his body was acclimated to drink this very heavy dosage of aluntis. The Mishnah says, "Ein shorin es achiltis b'poshrim." Okay, we don't soak something called chiltis in warm water. Amol nosein l'toch achometz, but you could add vinegar to it. Okay, now the English translation, excuse me, of chiltis is asafetida, and apparently it's a kind of a chemical substance that if you dissolve it in warm water, it is therapeutic. Now, if you add vinegar to it, then it actually has a good taste, and people use it as a dip. And therefore, the Mishnah says that if you add vinegar, that's okay because it no longer appears to be a medical therapy, but rather it looks like food because people use it as a dip. And we've said many, many times that the issur of taking medicine on Shabbos only applies when it is obvious to the onlooker that he's doing it for therapeutic purposes. Once he adds the chometz, then since people use it as a dip, even though it has this asafetida in it. Nevertheless, it is a dip, and therefore it's not nikar, it's not clear to anyone that he's doing it for therapeutic purposes. V'ein sholen es ha-karshinen v'lo shofen osan. We have something called karshinen. Karshinen is a kind of a vegetable or a legume, maybe beans, and it's usually used for animal food. And the Gemara is going to say, because it's fit for animal consumption, therefore it's not mukta on Shabbos. And what they used to do is they used to take these beans and they used to pour water over it. And as a result of the mixture of water with these kinds of legumes, they would remove any sort of chaff which would float to the top. And therefore, this would be a form of Meleches Borer. The Gemara is going to ask whether he's chaya for Meleches Borer if he violates this Iser. Now, what about taking this bean and instead of pouring the water on it in order to get the psoles to surface on the top level of the water, he mixes it with his fingers and removes the psoles. So the Mishnah prohibits that as well. Aval, but what he's allowed to do is nosein l'toch ha-kvara o l'toch ha-kalkola. And this is a big chiddush of the Mishnah, that he's allowed to take these beans, put them into a kvara. Kvara is a kind of a sieve. And although it seems that the psoles in this case would, generally speaking, surface on the top, but not all the psoles. Some of the psoles would actually fall through the holes of the sieve, and therefore it's not considered borer. Borer means when you take out all the psoles, not if you take out part of the psoles. That's what this Mishnah seems to be saying. Now, kalkola is a kind of a basket. Now, usually, when we use a basket as a sieve, that's called a shinui. That's not the normal way of doing it. But in this case, I think it's probably the normal way of doing it because the Mishnah combines it together with kvara, which is the sieve that you use and is singularly dedicated for sifting. Ein kovrin es ha-tevin b'kvara. So once again, we have straw, which has to be given to the animals. But there are certain kinds of mixtures in there that could be dangerous for the animal. And you want to sift out those elements of dross. And that would be a meleches borer. And the Mishnah prohibits it with a kvara, because that's the normal way you do it, with a sieve. Then the Mishnah says, v'lo yitnena al gabi mokum gavar b'shvil sheyered amotz. You can't put it on a high place in such a way that on a high place the chaff will blow away. And this sounds like what we're talking about is a kind of meleches zore. You remember we spoke about winnowing, when the wind blows away the chaff. Aval, what is he allowed to do? Notel hu bikvara v'nosein l'soch ha'evus. Ha'evus is a large vessel that they used to use to put food in to feed the animals. And he's allowed to take it in a sieve and pour it into this feeding utensil. Iboilahu shara mai. The Mishnah says that he's not allowed to soak this asafedia in warm water on Shabbos. What if he violated this isur? Tirgumar of Ada, Narsha, Kameder of Yosef, Shara, if he went ahead and he did this, and he violated the Iser, and he was soaking it, and it removes the chaff, Chayev Chatos. He has violated a Malach Doraisa, Amalei Abaye. Oh, so which Malach Doraisa is he violating? It would seem that he's violating Meleches Borer, because as a result of the soaking process, he's going to remove the psoles. Omalei Abaye, Abai says that the logical conclusion of Rav Ada is that any soaking process should be prohibited on Shabbos. Shara umtzo b'mayal chinami de mechayev, if he takes raw meat. Now here we're talking about salted raw meat, and he soaks it in water, and once again, so the soaking process will either soften the meat and make it edible, or perhaps remove some of the impurities. Is that the same as soaking? We called it asafetia. And yet, nobody would question that we're allowed to soak meat in water on Shabbos. El Amar Abaye Mirabonan Shalo Yasa Kedech Shuosu Bechol. Abaye says that this whole Iser is not a Chiv Chatos, the way Rav Ada said it. It's only an Iser Drabonon. And they allowed you to do this Iser Drabonon with a Shinui. Now again, we'd have to really study many, many different sugyas to determine in halacha exactly when shinui is helpful and mitigates and when it's not. The Meiri here has a new shita in explaining Abaye. He wants to claim that the whole issue of soaking asafedia is what we call uvda dechol. It's a kind of action that requires excessive work, and it's typical of a weekday, and therefore we want to avoid it on Shabbos. Others are going to say that there are other issues involved here, but in any event, if it's only an issue of uvda dechol, then we can begin to understand why Abaye says you can do it in an unusual way, shelo kedarka, because we're not dealing with a violation of a doraisa. Boy, mine Rav Yochanan, Rav Yane, mau lishos es achiltis bitzonen. The Mishnah prohibited soaking asafetida in warm water, but what about cold water? Amalei asur. So immediately, Rav Yane said to Rav Yochanan, "Va'anan tranein shorin es achiltis bitposhrin." You're only prohibited in warm water, implying that habitzonin mutter, in cold water it's okay. Amalei, so Rav Yane says to Rav Yochanan, if you're quoting a Mishnah, now Rav Yane is Rav Yochanan's Rebbe, in kein ma beini bein li v'loch, what makes me your Rebbe, that you could quote a Mishnah, and I don't know the Mishnah? I mean, then you don't want me as your Rebbe. So he says, but bas nisin yichidahi. Don't quote the Mishnah, which implies that in cold water it's mutter, because I have a braisa, and from this braisa we're going to conclude that the Mishnah only is attributable to one particular unique and dissenting opinion, but not reflective of the general opinion, because the braisa says, so we see that we're not allowed to soak chiltis even in cold water. And that's why Rav Yanai, based on this Tanakhama, we'll see Rav Yossi disagrees, he ruled and gave this answer to Rav Yochanan that it's mutter in cold water. Rav Yossi omar b'chamin also b'tzonein mutter. Meaning that the Tanakhama prohibits it even in cold water, and Rav Yossi makes that distinction, and he allows it in cold water. The Gemara says, Lamai Avdile. What exactly is this mixture called asafetida used for? Apparently it has some sort of medicinal value to it, and therefore we don't prepare it on Shabbos, unless we do it in a very unusual way, like with cold water. Is the yukra de liba. It's healthy for the heart. The Meiri says we're talking about a chest pain. So it's therapeutic for chest pains. Rav Acha bar Yosef chosh be yukra de libe. Rav Acha once was suffering from this kind of chest pain. Also, l'kami de bar ukva. Bar ukva was considered like one of the great medicinal sauces in those days. So he came to Mar Ukva Amalei. So Mar Ukva tells Rav Acha, what I would prescribe for your heart, Zil Shisei, go drink. And now he's going to ask him to drink Chilsa, but he's going to give him a certain volume in weight of how to prepare this Chilsa. Bitlasa Yome, and how many days should he be taking this medication? So he says, Shisei Tulsa Tikli. Tikli is gold. So they had a certain coin that was made out of gold, and they would know the weight of three of these gold coins. And that's how large of a portion of Chilsa you should put into this mixture. And make sure that you take it for 3 days. If you only take it for 2 days, it could be dangerous. Ozil ishte chamsha b'shabbos u'mayle shabbos. He drank it. Rav Acha drank it on Thursday and on Friday. And it was Shabbos. So now the third day was Shabbos. Litzafra on Shabbos morning, Ozal Shol b'Beit Midrasha. He went to ask in the Beis Medrash, is he allowed to take this medication on Shabbos? It's the third day. Amrulei, they said to him, that's a very confusing question, because Tana d'Bei Rav Ado, v'yamrulei Tana d'Bei Mar Bar Rav Ado, Shosa Adam Kav O Kabayim V'yeno Choshesh. A person is allowed to drink a certain volume of asafetida, of chiltis, which is the equivalent of a kav or kabayim. And if you haven't, or you're not required by your physician, you know, to drink that volume, then it's okay. Omole, Rav Acha now clarifies his question. He said, I never meant to ask you if Madel to drink it. Lishtos lo komi boy, I knew it was permitted to drink. Because people will think I'm drinking it because I enjoy the pleasure of it. Ki komi boy li, what was my question? Lishos my. I am allowed to soak it on Shabbos, to prepare it on Shabbos. And is this called Uvdin Dechol? Amalahu, Rav Acha Bar Ovin. Rav Acha Bar Ovin responded, Bididi avi uvda, I had a problem with this. And I saw shilti le Rav Ado Bar Ava, yes, Rav Ado Bar Ava, v'lo avi biyod. And he didn't know the answer to this question. Are you allowed to prepare this on Shabbos? I saw shilti le Rav Huna v'yomar, yes, Rav Huna. And he says, Hochi Omar Rav, shore b'tzonein u'meniach b'chama. Although, from a medicinal point of view, it has to be warm, but he's not allowed to soak it in warm water. Let him soak it in cold water, and then warm it up a little bit in the sun, which is called Bishol Bachama, and that's Mutar on Shabbos. Kiman Deshari, according to which opinion was Rav lenient about soaking Shiltas on Shabbos in cold water? That was Rabbi Yossi, because you remember the Tanakhama prohibited even in cold water. Is afil lemanti osar. Rav says that even according to the Tanakhama, who says that it's osur in cold water. Hani mili hechadolo ishti klal. If he's taking it for the first time, avol kevan de ishti chamshu bali shavso. He had already taken this medication on Thursday and Friday. Then ilo shasi b'shavso mistaken. If he doesn't fill out the third day, it could be dangerous. I was told, Charney, that if you take If you take antibiotics less than the amount, sometimes it could have a negative effect. Is that true?
The negative effect is that you're making the bug come back stronger because you didn't knock them out completely.
You didn't knock them out, right.
And then you become also resistant. Your body becomes
I think this Gemara, although I don't know if it's talking about antibiotics, I'm not sure. Okay. Now the Gemara tells another story about Rav Acha. Mistamech v'ozil he was walking and leaning on top of Rav Acha Bar Yosef. I'm sorry, Rav Acha was leaning. Akatfei de Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Bar Achte. So he was leaning on the, perhaps the shoulders of his nephew, Rav Nachman. Amalei, so Rav Acha turns to Rav Nachman, his nephew, and he says, Ki matina lebei Rav, when we pass the house of Rav Safra, Ailina, take me in. I have a question to ask him. Ki matu, when they pass the house, is Aili. They went up to the house of Rav Safra. Boy mine, Rav Acha asks Rav Safra, Mao lechaschuche kisana b'shabsa. So now, Rav Osai, we're about to embark upon the sugya of moleches molabin, which means laundering clothing. And the question that he asked him is about rubbing a linen shirt on Shabbos. The linen shirt was already laundered, and now he rubs it. And the question is, what does that act of rubbing do? Does it further clean it, or it's just to soften it up? Because linen, when it comes out of the laundry, is very stiff. He analyzes the question, Kuche kisan nisa kamachavin. All he's doing is softening the linen shirt. There's no problem on Shabbos softening a tough shirt. Odilma, perhaps, what he's intending to do, again, this doesn't mean his mental intention, but what's inherent in the action, is lo lude chivara kamachavin. He's chivara is white, in other words, brightening it. He's actually brightening the linen shirt on Shabbos, which would be a malacha of malabin, the usher, and therefore it's prohibited. Amalei, Rav Safra said to him, L'rakuche kisanisa kamachavi v'shapri tomi. That the action of rubbing the shirt when it comes out of laundry, in this case of a linen shirt, is to soften it, and therefore it's mutter. However, ki nofak, when Rav Acha went out of the house, asa amalei, Rav Nachman turns to his uncle and he says, I don't understand. Uncle, my boy Marmine, what did you ask him? Amole, boy, I asked him, Mine, Mao lechaskuse ki sonisa b'shabso, v'yomali shaper domi. And he allowed me to do it. So Rav Nachman asks his uncle, V'ti boy le lamar sudora, what about a turban that's made out of linen, and you sent it to the laundry, when you get it back, you rub it. And certainly in that case, you benefit from the rubbing. So Rav Acha says, Sudara lokomi boile. I never had to ask him Sudara, because that question I had already asked in the past. Deboi mi Rav Huna. I had asked that question to Rav Huna, Poshet leili sura. And Rav Huna told me it was prohibited. Meaning that in the case of a turban, when you rub it after it comes out of the laundry, clearly that adds to its shininess, and therefore it brightens it up. And that's also on Shabbos. So now Rav Nachman says to Rav Acha, wait a minute, v'tivsha lei lamar misudra. If you already had the answer from Rav Huna about a turban, and rubbing apparently adds to the brightening of the color, then it should equally be asur in the case of a linen shirt. Amalei, so Rav Acha responds to his nephew. He says, "Hosa mechzi bi ki olude chivara." In other words, I certainly understand that in the case of a turban, when you rub the turban, it becomes brighter, and therefore it's malavin hacha. But here, in the case of a shirt, lo mechzi ki olude chivara, it doesn't look like his intention is to brighten it up. Meaning that very often people, as a matter of course, will rub the shirt when it comes out of laundry. It's made of linen, it's tough, and they soften it. True, in certain cases it may cross someone's mind that his interest is adding brightness to it, but that's not the main accepted primary purpose of rubbing it. And based on that logic and that distinction, Rav Safra paskin for Rav Acha that he's allowed to do this in the case of a linen shirt, but not in the case of a turban. So the poskim are going to have to deal with different kinds of laundries and when rubbing is allowed, when it's not allowed. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, Hai kisan nisa, in terms of this linen shirt that came out of the laundry, and here we're turning to Kuf Mem Amud Beis, is Mishlefu Lerida. I'm sorry, I don't have enough light here. I'm sorry, Lidida Mikanya Shari. But Kanya Mimena Asur. Now, what they used to do is, when they had a laundered shirt, and instead of, let's say, ironing the shirt, they used to find different methods of keeping the shirt stretched out. One of those methods was to insert a long rod through the sleeves. And these rods were really designated as firewood. They were, you know, cheap pieces of wood. They were not expensive. And the question here is that of muktza. Because, as we said many times, wood that's used for fire is inherently muktza. It's muktza machmas gufo. Now, in this case, he had slipped in these rods to the sleeves of his freshly laundered shirt. Now he wants to remove these rods. So the Gemara makes a distinction between removing the rods and slipping the rods out in an unusual kind of way. And the basic distinction is as follows. If you remove the rod directly, that's a problem of muktza. But if you somehow do it indirectly, so if you slip a shirt out of a drying rod, so even though eventually you're going to remove the or move the rod, but that's indirectly. And that's mutter. However, if he wants to remove the dry shirt from, if he wants to directly take the rod and remove it from the dry shirt, then he's moving muktza, and that's us. Amar Rava v'im kli kevrayhu mutter. However, if he's not using just a rod, a regular rod, which is basically firewood, but rather he's using a utensil, which is called a kevay, and it's used in the weaving process, then he's allowed to actually directly slip the rod out of the shirt. And again, what we have to know is, why is this mutter when it's called a kli shemalachta l'isur? It's a weaver's rod. And the answer is he's doing it litzorek gufo. He's using the rod not as a weaving utensil, but as a stiffening a shirt utensil. So that's called le gufo. And that's mutter in a kli shemalachta l'isur. And we solved the problem of muktza because he didn't directly move the muktza. Om Rav Chisda hai Kishta de Yarka, if he has a bundle of yerek, of vegetables, like asparagus or something along that line, Ichazi l'machal b'ema sharlet taltule, if these raw vegetables are edible for animals, then there's no isur muktza, v'lo, but if it is not edible at all, not for animals nor for humans, then it becomes muktza machmas gufo. And therefore it's osur. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Hai Talya Dibisra Shari L'Taltule. So you have animal meat, and he punctures holes in all the pieces of meat, and he puts a string through them. And this meat, although it's raw meat, is fit for animal consumption, and therefore it's not muktza. However, the kavre osir. If he has, instead of pieces of meat that is strung together, he has pieces of fish that is strung together. They didn't know anything about sushi in those days. And that's not edible if it's raw fish. Okay. And therefore we have a muksa issue. Amar av katina ha'omid be'emtza mita. Now, here we're getting into the laws of tznius, of modesty. And there's a bed that a husband and wife usually sleep on, and he's now climbing onto this bed. So Rav Katina says he's not allowed to do that. That's called hirahur. He's going to have thoughts that are impure. Kilu omei b'kresa shalisha. It's like he stepped on a woman's belly. The Gemara rejects this. V'lav milsahu. We don't have a chashash. We're not afraid of hirahur just because he stepped on a bed. Amar Rav Chizda, Bar Bei Rav, Dezovin Yarka, Lizmin Aricha. Now, this is very interesting. The Gemara is going to give us some pearls of wisdom, especially for Talmud Chacham, to buy something and get his full value without cheating anybody. And how does he do so? He says that when he buys vegetables, he should buy a bundle of vegetables and they should have long vegetables, a bundle of long vegetables. Now, why is he buying these longer vegetables or herbs? He says, kisha ki kisha, because one bunch is as thick as another bunch, and therefore the seller is not going to charge him more for one bunch than another, because they sell it by bunches, by bundles. So the seller will tie around the bundle, and let's say six pieces of asparagus will fit into one bundle, but you have a choice of buying for the same price another bundle that's longer, and you get more for your money. And therefore, v'urcha mimela. And the seller doesn't charge him any extra money for the extra length, because they didn't measure it by length, they measured it by bundle, by counting up the individual items. And that's not called cheating, because if they sell it in that certain way, then they put out all the bundles, and you decide which bundle you want to take. It's kind of like if you ever go to a bookstore, or any sort of shop that sells different things. They charge X for anything on the table, and you have a host of choices. Make sure to choose the best of them all. They're not going to charge you any extra because it's better than the other one. Another idea, very similar. Omar Rav Chizda, another piece of wisdom. Bar Bei Rav, which is a Torah scholar. De Zovin Kanya, he's buying a bundle of Kanya. Kanya means reeds. Lizvin Aricha. Once again, he should buy the longer ones. Why? Because they only charge by the bundle. It doesn't matter what the length is within each bundle. Tuna bay tuna. One bundle has the same thickness as another bundle, and they charge the same amount. V'urcha memela. And there's an added addition in the fact that the reed is longer, so he gets more for his money. More for his buck. The Amar of Chizda, furthermore, says, Bar Bei Rav, a Torah scholar who should use his brains, right? And he's very poor. A Torah scholar has a very limited financial base, and he doesn't have that much bread to eat. Is therefore Lechel Yarka, Mishum de Gorir. Vegetables will stimulate the appetite. And he'll end up having to buy more food, and he doesn't have the funds to buy food. The Amar Rav Chizda, Ana lo bad yusi achli yarka. When I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables. Velo basirusi. When I became wealthy in my later years, again, lo achli yarka. I wouldn't eat vegetables. Why? He says, Bani yusi, when I was poor, I didn't eat these herbs. Why? Because they stimulate my appetite, and I won't have enough money to buy food to satisfy myself. But Batirusi, when I became wealthy, there was another reason. Amina, I said, Hecha, whenever the oil Yarko Leil Bisra Vekavre, instead of filling my belly with vegetables, I might as well fill my belly with meat and fish, which are more substantive. They're proteins. It's kind of like, you know, if you go to a shmorg, so don't fill yourself up on the breads, you know, and so forth. Just leave room for the meat. V'yomer avchizda, bar be'rav d'lo nofish le'rifta. The Torah scale has a limited supply of bread. Lo li'vitzai batsuda. He should not be the one to cut the bread for the guests. He's going to be very stingy about it. Let him give that honor to someone else who will cut up slices of bread in a way that will be satisfying for the guests. V'yomer avchizda, bar be'rav d'lo nofish le'rifta. He doesn't have money to buy bread. Lo livta, my time lo avid be'ayin yofa. Right? He's not going to be generous about giving out portions of bread. Normally we say that the Baal Bais is the one who's botzea. He's the one who cuts up the bread because he has an ayin yofa. He wants to give the guests a beautiful piece. But not in the case of a poor Torah scholar. Let him give that honor to someone else. V'yomer avchizda, ano meikara lo havi betzano. While I was poor in my first state of being, I would not cut up the bread to give it out. Ad de shdoi yodi bekule mana. I would first check out the entire basket of bread with my hands. The Ashkechi Bay Kol Tzarkei, and I would be absolutely convinced that there were enough pieces of bread to give out to everyone, and it would be an ample supply for all the guests. Omer Al Chizda, Hai Man Di Efshalei, a person has the ability Lemechel to eat Nama De Sa'ari. He can eat something less expensive, which is barley bread. V'ochal Dechite. And instead he wastes his money, I'm going to use that in inverted commas, on buying wheat bread, is ka'avar, he violates mishum bal tashchis. He's wasting money. He's throwing money into the rubbish bin, and that's a violation of bal tashchis. Now again, this has to be understood because I wouldn't call it a waste of money just because he wants to upgrade the quality of the bread he's buying. So you have to understand exactly why Rav Papa felt that this was Bal Tashchis. It could be that Rav Papa meant that he's living above his means if he's a poor person. Because again, Rav Chizda was poor, at least in his youth. Amar Rav Papa, Haiman di Efshel Lemishte Shikra V'Shasi Chamra. He could be equally satisfied by drinking cheap beer and instead he spends his money on expensive wine and he doesn't have the money to spend, is ka'avar, he violates mishum bal tashchis. Again, you would ask the same question. I mean, he's upgrading the quality of his food from that of beer to that of wine. But the answer is, he doesn't have that funding to do so. But l'maisa, the Gemara rejects Rav Papa. The lav milsehi bal tashchis de gufe adif. If he can justify spending extra money, even though he doesn't have the money to spend, but for health considerations, it's better for his body if he buys wheat bread or if he drinks wine as opposed to beer. Beer is not the healthiest thing to drink. Then that's not called bal tashchis. The extra funds are justified by the health improvement, the health benefit. Amar Rav Chizda, bar be'rav de lesle mishcha. If he's too poor to buy oil, and usually they used to use oil after the meal as like a cleanser, is nimshe b'maya de charitze. He can take water from a pit, which is stale water, and it's enough to wash his hands. and he doesn't have to spend the extra money on oil. Amar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav de Zoven Umtza, he wants to buy meat, is Lizvin Unka. He should buy the neck. We call it gronot in modern Hebrew, right? That's a Hebrew word. The Isbei Tlasa Mine Bisra. Now, what's great about buying neck? He says that the neck has fatty meat, lean meat, and sinews. And all of these will add to his diet. The Marshal here, I'm sorry, the Maral here, has a new addition. He says that the Gemara wants to give us insight into God's bountiful kindness, where we should appreciate God's world. V'yom Rav Chisda, Bei Rav, Dizavin, Ki Tutunisa, Lizvin, Midener, Abba. There's an area called Nahar Abba. And that's where you want to buy linen garments. They were the experts in producing linen garments, high quality. Vinechavra koltasin yomin, and should send it to the laundry every 30 days. Demefatio leit leisar yarchi shata, and such a linen garment that he buys from Nahar Ava will last for a full year if he treats it well and he launders it once a month. V'yana arva, and I will guarantee him, I'm his arif. In other words, he testifies to the fact that he had tried this out and it's reliable. I'm going to try to get to the mission if I can. If you can stay, please stay. My kitunisa. What is the meaning, the etymology of the word kitunisa, which we said is a linen garment? Kisa na. Okay, now this is a kind of notrikon where the Gemara is going to take apart a word, break it into its smaller parts. And kisa na literally means fine fellowship. So the quality of the shirt means that he's part of a good group of people. He's from the elite. In good, he keeps good company. Amar Rav Chisda, Bei Barav, Lo Lesiv Atzifta Chada. Okay, he shouldn't sit on a new hemp mat, Demechalia money, because it ruins his clothing. There's moisture in a brand new hemp mat, and it ruins clothing that comes in contact with it. So again, this is all a continuation of the benefit that a Torah scholar can get for his studies when he takes good care of his clothing, etc. The Amar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav Lo Lishtar, he shouldn't send Manya, a cloak, Lushpiza, to his hostess, Lechavuye Betle. You know, some inns offer a laundry, a free laundry service. You pay for the inn, for the hotel. He says, Lav uche ara. It doesn't look like a good thing to do. Why? Dilma chazi be midi vi osi lemigne. You know, if he's a regular in that inn, he doesn't want to turn her off. And maybe he has certain kind of filth on his garment, and when she launders the garment, he becomes repulsive to her. And he wants an upstanding relationship. Amalei Rav Chisda l'bnasei. Rav Chisda told his daughters, Tehevi tzniosan bi'ape gavra. You should be very modest in your husband's presence. Lo telchun nahama bi'ape gavrayu. Don't eat bread in your husband's presence, because sometimes you'll overeat, and that makes it repulsive to your husband. Lo techol yarka b'leila. Don't eat vegetables at night. It gives you unpleasant breath, odor. Lo selchun tamri b'leila. Don't eat dates at night. Lo tishtun shikra b'leila. Don't drink beer at night. All these things are unhealthy, and they cause either bad breath or diarrhea. Lo tishtun shikra b'leila. V'lotifnun heichen de mipne gavra. And you shouldn't go to the bathroom where your husband goes to the bathroom, because he might see, you know, might see you, and he gets repulsed. V'chika kari abava inish. When a man is knocking at the door of your house, lo temrun manu, don't say, who is it? And that's using the masculine form, elamani, who is it? Meaning you use a feminine form, because it's not proper that you expect a man to come into your house. Okay, this next piece of Gemara that we're about to learn is... it's amazing how a great Amora like Rav Chisda could say this to his daughters and give them an instruction in how to arouse their husband's sexual desire. Very, very mind-boggling. And he says to them, "Nakit marganisa b'chadi yodei, fikura b'chadi yodei." Which literally, again, this is all symbolic and metaphoric. Allow your husband to hold your pearl in one hand and the kill in one hand. In other words, a man would want to hold, you know, his wife's breasts and at the same time extend his hand towards her privates, but Rav Chisda advised his daughters to offer the breast and delay in offering the private parts. And this would lead to a heightened desire. And I guess it's all part of Shalom Bayis. Marganisa achveluhu. And it's very important to offer your breasts. And vikura lo achvile adamitsarin. But your privates, you shouldn't offer to him until he's dying for it, so to speak. Vahadar achvile. And then you should offer it to him. And finally, the Mishnah says, ein Sholin esakashinin, right? We don't want to soak these herbs in order to remove the, you know, the psoles, and we're allowed to put them into a sieve or into a basket. Masisin deloki aitana mishnah is against the ruling of another tana. Desanya we learned in Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, ein mashkichin bekavra kol ikar. We don't use a sieve at all. So if you want to use a basket, that's already a shinui, to use a basket as a sieve. But to use a kavra, that's not permitted, because that's the specific kli that is designated for this process of removing the psoles, and therefore it's kedarka, and it's a problem of meleches borer. So this leads us to the Mishnah here, towards the bottom of Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. And as I always say every Friday, you know, that's going to be your homework assignment to finish up. And we'll pick it up on Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, with page Kuf Mem Beis. And we're getting close to the end of Masechta Shabbos. Okay, then? So let me take this opportunity to wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll learn a Mirtz Hashem, a little bit of Meshech Chachma at 10:30 this morning. Shabbat Shalom. Thanks. Shabbat Shalom.